sharp. Welcome to my talk. I'm trying to tell a little bit about the long-term migration from DCL rendering to X-canvas-based rendering. Some of you might have attended last year's talk where we, together with Radek, showed the Impress slideshow running with the new X-canvas API. Can you hear me in the back? Excellent. So, this is the follow-up. As I promised, the next one to convert was the draw impress edit view. So, yeah, first of all, what's the drawing layer? The drawing layer is the engine that needed to be converted to canvas. That would have been the problems. How does it look right now? How to move on from that? Short recap, what is X-Canvas? And how was it integrated? And I'll close with a short demo showing DrawImpress actually rendering via anti-aliased Cairo canvas. Okay, so this is a part of the OpenOffice architecture from a website perspective. The drawing layer is here. So it basically provides draw shapes. Those are rectangles and red arrow, for example, for all OpenOffice applications like Writer and Calc. And the chart engine also uses the drawing layer for outputting. So it's kind of a middle layer of OpenOffice. It's part of a module SVX. SVX is kind of a bag of MISC, so anything what didn't fit anywhere else put into SVX. As I said, it's used from all applications, not only to view, but also to control or modify those draw shapes. That is, most of the controller functionality for draw shapes is also within the drawing layer in SVX. Okay. The problems with the current approach are that model and view are basically just one object, which first of all makes it pretty hard to implement new view functionality like specialized export, for example, PDF or Flash. So there's no really reusable view functionality, or there has not been any reusable view functionality in place for raw shapes. And of course, it makes the code harder to understand and harder to maintain if it's all kind of mixed into one. Second problem, that's by design. It derives from framework classes. It uses VCL classes by name, that is not via an API or an interface or a protocol class, but via concrete instances, which also makes it hard to plug in something new, for example, a new rendering engine, because it's just VCL output device all over the place, and you cannot just plug in something different, because if you would, all the other code would also change, or behavior would change. So what makes this is there are almost no points for customization. As I said, it's what would have been close to impossible with that current design to exchange render backend. It was extremely hard to add new shapes for 2.0. We added those custom shapes, and it was just a big massage of the existing code just to get that in. So It's not like you plug in an external component which implements certain interfaces and you have a new shape type. It's like, I don't know, Sven had to, I think he had to touch nearly all files in SVX source as you draw. And rendering is a cross-cutting concern. That's an expression from aspect-oriented programming. It means that it's basically all over the place. It's not not something that you can, or that was located in one area, but it was spread all over the place. So what Armin did was it's not that he started exactly from scratch, but he started from scratch, but ripped off useful parts of functionality from the old implementations, from the old files, and put that into a new module, which is a module drawing layer. So the whole endeavor is going on into separate CWSs. The first one is AWO24, which is about interaction and moving more of the output preparation steps from SVX to BaseGFX. BaseGFX is a lib for basic geometry handling and basic geometry data types. Overlay and interaction overlays are it's a concept. If you interact with draw shapes, you get a little preview, like that dotted outline, which is in the current design is rendered via XOR, which poses problems for modern graphic APIs. For example, macOS 10 just doesn't have XOR. So Armin separated that out into an overlay concept. An overlay is just a bitmap that is overlaying to the draw view and can be moved around, and that's taken care of for background restoring, stuff like that. Well, that is pretty much done, and we'll hopefully hit that soon. So there's a few issues left, but it has already been it had been set ready for QA, but bounced back. But I'm pretty confident that I'll make it this year. The second part, which is from my point of view, or from the render via XCanvas story, is AWO33, which is all about drawing layer primitives. Drawing layer primitives is like a scene graph. The view generates a scene graph of shapes and geometry and text and whatever. And then it's pretty easy to implement a renderer that just outputs those theme graphs. But more about that later on. More about that right now. So that's how it looks in CWS AWO33. There's no way. Split between model and view. So on the left hand you see the model SDR object is the old model view all in one implementation, which is pretty much deprived of all view functionality, and more or less only contains the pure model data, like the path or the string of text and some attributes, of course. On the right-hand side, just completely on the right side, SDR view is the old view implementation, the old view class, which is all also been ripped off from stuff that's no elsewhere. And to connect all those and to have a kind of a migration path, which still allows the new drawing layer to be used from Writer and Cal. There are three new objects, three contact objects that mediate between those model and that view object, which is the view contact object on the model side. The name stems from the fact that it contacts the view to the model object. It's kind of hard to get your head around that, but once you know the reasons, I think it's, or maybe it helps to print it out and hang it as a poster in your office. The view contact is basically mediates the model object to the view. On the right-hand side, the object contact mediates the SDR view to the view contact and view object contact. So it's just a kind of a wrapper of facade around that. The important methods of those objects, we start with the view contact. If you have you create a new view, you want to display on, say, you want to render into a bitmap. So you create a new SDR view, create a new object contact, and then you go to the model and take the topmost element in the draw model, which is the page, and retrieve from that page object a view contact, and you can call that get VOC method, pass in that object contact, and get that's kind of a factory method to generate that view object contact in the middle. So view contact is a factory that, given a object contact, generates an appropriate view object contact for that. So with that child method, you can go down the tree and create view object contacts for the whole drawing layer tree. Okay. Any questions?
So the object contact is created from the SDR view? Or
pardon? It's great.
The object contact object is created from the SDR view, or?
The object contact is just it's a product code class. You can provide your own, or you can provide your own derivations for that. For example, for implementing special stuff like bitmap rendering or PDF output. So you have to implement an object contact for your specific needs, and plug in that object contact into that get VOC factory method, and then generate, recursively generate the draw tree from that.
So it's, for example, specific for a bitmap, but then in the model there are three bitmaps, which one it selects, where it will generate three view object contact objects for every bitmap.
Yeah, it's like you have one view and one object contact, and the object contact generates for every model object, it generates a tree, like a proxy for every model object. So there's a one-to-one correspondence between, if you have only one view, you have the same number of view object contact objects as SDR objects.
Okay, so the get VOC returns like a list of objects?
No, only one.
Only one?
Yeah. You have to go down, recursively go down the tree. Because it's a tree, you can have group objects, like on the outside look like one, but contain other objects. And Okay. Once you got the view object contacts, you can ask each of them to generate a primitive list. Primitives are a few slides before, I was referring to them as a kind of a scene graph. It's like it's like geometry specific for that view. Contains, for example, text portions or polygons or bitmaps, like a meta file, but more. Yeah, so you can ask every view object contact to get the specific primitive list for this object, or you can ask the top level view object contact to get recursively get all primitives for the whole draw hierarchy. Okay. So this is what you get. Base primitive is also a protocol class which provides, among others, two methods like get range, so to get the rectangular area that is covered by that primitive, and get decomposition. And I think decomposition is the crucial point here, which really makes the primitives different from a pure meta file, because you can have any number of primitive types. You can easily, for your application, add new primitives. What every primitive must support is that get decomposition method, which decomposes the primitive into smaller or simpler ones. And there's a set of basic primitives that are by now just convention, but that every renderer must support, because if you can't decompose anymore, like a polygon, there's not much sense to decompose a polygon further. Maybe you can decompose into single pixels, but that won't make too much sense. And the idea is to have a basic set of primitives that every renderer must support, and have therefore have the ability to easily add new primitives, but which would make adding new shapes, at least for the rendering part of the story, pretty easy. Because you just add a new primitive for your mega special custom shape and implement that decomposition method. Okay. So where are we now? You get a separated model and view. Controller is, I don't know, I think it's work in progress. At least parts of that are in AW024 CWS. Problem with controllers, it's it affects all applications. Basic controller functionality is in SVX, but well, it's overridden and extended in the application, so there's still some work to do. SCR object now represents a pure model, and object contact and view object contact are, the object contact is kind of the view representation, and the object view object context is the content of the view objects, if you like. All of that bins ad hoc open geometry generation. Before that, there was a paint method at every model object, which just on the fly generated geometry, did not cache geometry, because there was really no place to cache it, because it could be called for every view, so it did not really know when to flush caches or like that. So there was no dedicated object which could buffer or cache view specific information. Instead we have that base GFX graphics tooling. So all that geometry generation was factored out and put into base GFX, like, for example, thick lines or stroking lines, which are emulated by creating just a full polygon, line dashing, polygon clipping, all of that. As I said, that scene graph like hierarchy of view content. which, and I come to that on the next slide, makes it pretty easy to implement a new renderer, because it's just this, really a small set of parameters you need to implement to basically get it working. Yeah, that's a short recap about what's been done and what's still open. So last year it was about the XCanvas API, what it is, what it's for. We had, I think, by now, three working implementations. Four, I don't know. Three, I think. So three implementations for the XCanvas API. Yeah, the new slideshow engine, also shown last year, is completely based on XCanvas. Yeah, and what I'm showing right now is that the Chrome Press edit view is also converted to Canvas. Still open is to merge in that overlay functionality from the other workspace, which would fit in quite nicely with their Canvas concept of sprites. So you can just put your overlay into a sprite, and then the Canvas will take care of quickly moving it around and restoring the back buffer and all of that, because that's what we needed anyway for the slideshow. And it's pretty good hardware acceleration. So you can if that's done, you can even have that overlays being 50% transparent, or like just render the shape in the new attributes into that overlay, get it 50% transparent, and you can nicely see how it will look like.
Will it affect XRender extension, for example?
No, that's a completely different story. But there are some constraints about the way or which kind of canvas can be used. It's, that's true, but I'm going to that shortly. Still open is to have the XCanvas API accessible from all the rest of UNO. So there's currently no legal or no official way to get from a UNO, pure UNO X window or whatever interface to get a canvas. So there's only a C++ way to get a canvas, which of course should be changed, and it's on the list. But it's not yet done. The two remaining items probably should be a little bit more prominent and a little bit have a larger font, because it's most of the work, like porting Calc and Writer to XCanvas, especially Writer. I think it's a huge effort, but still it's a plan to migrate all applications. Canvas, get rid of VCL of the device.
One question, this point while talking with porting about the new chart, we use the drawing layer just by UNO. Will it work automatically, or do we have to use XCanvas in some place?
No, there's no automatism at the moment, so you have to specifically select a renderer for your primitive list. So in the current implementation, there's the view, or the object contact of the view receives a repaint message and sets up a renderer and feeds the primitive list into the renderer. So at that point, you have to choose between which renderer do you take. So yeah, that's what it's like. I don't know, four or five lines of code you would need to change. But, yeah. Well, we are a little bit short on time. Recap about what's XCanvas. That's X because it's UNO interface. It's a UNO API rendering subsystem for OpenOffice. So it's a pure interface, you can plug any implementation underneath it. As I said, it's slated to replace the output device. Reasons why we went that route is that significantly easier to port, because it has a lower impedance towards modern graphics APIs in comparison to output device. I already stated one example, which is XR, and there are other parts where it's sometimes hard to port output device, and sometimes it's just only inefficient, but still the impedance is lower. And prime example, Radek showed us that it's not too hard to implement that API. Four?
Oh no, that's very good.
Okay, yeah, well, I think I can skip all the rest, and that's basically truisms, like you get separations of concerns, you get speed because of the lower impedance, you get better quality because of alpha blending and anti-aliasing and color management. Yeah, it's contemporary, the set of render primitives like texture polygons and stuff like that, stroking. You can implement an arbitrary number of implementation of backends. That's not only one way of implementing an output device of US API. It's stateless, so it's pretty concurrency friendly. It has a caching concept that exploits the fact that nowadays one typically has a dedicated object per view for things that get rendered, so you have a place to cache content. As I said, it was pretty easy after the refactoring and rework that Armin had done to just implement a X canvas based renderer. There's one tested assumption, which is that X canvas output and VCL output must mix on the same window or area, because there's still functionality left that renders via output device if it's only calc and writer, which still do render their text in their cells via output device. But at least for VCL canvas, of course, and for Cairo canvas, that's no problem, that works. If the render order of rendering stuff is maintained, the output is okay. Okay, that holds until, yeah?
At the moment for rendering text, there's special different limitations of text renderers for Cairo Canvas. And
yeah, it's a hack. It's actually Cairo Canvas falls back to VCL for text rendering.
But you can make special individual.
Yeah, the problem is that text layouting in VCL by itself needs some refactoring and some splitting off of commonly useful stuff, but yeah, that's maybe one can use that VCL plugin approach to get that, because I think that's already as our layout, so maybe that's an avenue.
Can you do things like have your text and blend it with some standard
Scan
the shape behind
it? If you just render the text on top of the shape, it will of course blend against the background. What does not yet work, to the best of my knowledge, is to have the text by itself have effects like alpha or...
Yeah?
But I think texture fills won't work. Anyway, it's
transparency.
Yeah, but it's possible, but you would have to hack around it a little bit, like get the leaf outlines and do that polygon rendering by yourself, I guess. Yeah, that's kind of a dark corner, that text layouting, but it's on our list, so. I think eventually I will fix it.
come. Have you experienced how how the behavior of the rendering is done when using remote protocols like VNC or?
Yeah, of course it will be slow, but in the end, at the end of the day, we have a VCL based canvas implementation, so you can always fall back to that, and then it shouldn't make any noticeable difference. There's one additional layer of interaction below, above VCL output device in this case, but that should not be noticeable. The rendering and the way it's rendered is then exactly the same before and after that. Okay. No more questions? Good. Demo. So yeah, this is a CWS build from that AW033 CWS using Pyro Canvas as the backend and to ease that porting, there's a hotkey that switches between output device rendering and canvas-based rendering, so you can directly compare if there are any differences. So I don't see my mouse. Do you? Just add some smile. Is it? Oh, yeah. Maybe you can spot the difference if you compare the preview on the left side with the main view. You might notice, at least those in the first row, that it's anti-aliased and the curve is much, much smoother. And now if I press my hotkey, which is Control-Shift-T, to switch to the old renderer, you see the difference, hopefully. Okay, so basically all stuff is working, like bitmap and gradient fills. Gradient. So this is VCL output device, and this is Pyro Canvas. For a bitmap fill, it's still ugly. This is Cairo. Okay. That basically is it. There's not much more to that. You get anti-aliasing, you get smooth curves. You get maybe a little bit more speed depending on your hardware. Okay. So far?
I thought the preview on the left was another view of the same shape.
It was not?
But on the left it's still not. It's still the
On the left it's always still VCL. Yeah.
It could also be the
yes, of course.
Just purely.
Yeah. It's only you need to touch a few places to get them all. Or you can of course change the default. But for that work in progress it's nice to have to be able to switch. And well, the slideshow hasn't changed. It's just the same. the SlideShow already uses canvas for rendering.
One question, so Ruby had also better font rendering, so especially for SlideShows and the...
That's kind of a separate problem, but yes, in the end, the SlideShow currently uses a way of retrieving geometry via UNO API that's, let's put it this way, suboptimal. It's via meta files, and if this is completely done, then there will also be UNO API for that drawing layer primitives. And that's simply, from a quality point of view, geometry of higher quality. Like, you don't have subdivided curves, you have text with floating point accuracy for positioning and sizes. So, yeah, it's a little bit of work to do. But of course, I plan to do that. No question. What I pretty much like the most is that really, really ugly subdivided curves have disappeared into one Bezier curve. Okay. So, further info, status about that is on the OpenOffice wiki. On the drawing layer rework page, the link is included. Thanks guys for listening. Oh, sorry. Thanks folks for listening. Any questions, any further?
Does that already work for all the objects? Is it rendering inside the OLE
object also? If it's raw or impress OLE, yes, it should work. Maybe we can try. Because the Impress, it's a native renderer. Mm-hmm. It won't work for the preview, of course, but if it's in live mode, it will work.
So when you see the meta file, will the object be still...
Yeah, of course, because it's a meta file.
Yeah, the meta file is not rendered, but
it won't help, even if it would have been rendered by the canvas renderer. It's still a VCL output device meta file. So there's no improvement. But still, what do people complain the most with that was that the SlideShow got anti-aliasing and whatever, and in the draw view, you still have those pixelized outlines. Okay.
Do these changes also involve the interaction with the user, like when you move the mouse around and click, the computation of the mouse position and things like this?
Not yet. As I said, the whole interaction and overlay stuff is in a different workspace, which hopefully gets integrated soon, and then we have to resync and merge it in and change it. And the plan was to have that ready until now, and I planned to actually show that. But okay, that's live. If the changes are merged in, it's pretty easy to provide an overlay overlay plugin that uses canvas sprites. So again, if all things are in place from that rework, it's pretty easy to flexibly exchange stuff or use new implementations. Question answered?
Thank you.
Yeah, we got 5 minutes left. Any further questions?
It's quite the thought for the Mac port. I suppose it would also be a good step to have this separation. Is that true, or is that independent issue for the native?
Yeah, from the perspective, of course, it's always good to have to be able to provide specific implementations of renderer functionality or toolkit functionality. For this specific case, I think the focus of the MAC port is still to get VCL basically working. So having a
directly we superimpose VCL control because VCL does work compositing, works fine.
But
thinking that this is supposed to be a VCL replacement in the long term, not concerning controls, but only
yeah. Yeah, that's of course the plan to have Xcanvas replace VCL output device and a yet to be implemented or designed toolkit API to replace the VCL controls. That's true. So in that. With that long-term perspective, of course, it's the right, those are the right steps into the right direction.
Yeah.
Well, like on top doing buttons and using things like this.
Yeah.
So we expect it to be drawn by Canvas?
Yeah, maybe. But, I think the idea or the plan should be not again port or implement against a specific implementation, but program against an API. So it would then be pretty easy to plug in native implementations for those controls. Right now, it's all behavior and all classes are fixed. It's VCL, it's derived from VCL controls, and what works is to have the look that is the actual rendering of the controls to be pluggable. Well, that's only, I think, 10 to 20% of the whole story to get really, really nice, really slick platform integration. So the higher level the API for a toolkit is, the easier it is to provide really, really good platform integration. On the other hand, it increases the amount of work every platform has to invest to provide their toolkit. There's a trade-off where at what level you put that API.
Okay. Estimate how long it will take to port all the applications to Canvas?
Yes, the drawing layer took, I think, about 1 year. Still, it's not done yet, so I think it's at least half a year of work to do to get that ready for prime time. Calc shouldn't be too hard. There's not too much rendering in Calc. Writer is the hardest part. Because, in the EDL case, that reworked, refactored writer rendering via Xcanvas would generate exactly the same layout as before, because the litmus test is, or they are documents where you have one pixel difference and the document looks completely different. So that's the hardest part, I think, to maintain that layout compatibility. Yes.
Masking.
Yes, it has a pretty generic clipping primitive. You can clip by arbitrary polygons, and you can. It's not yet implemented, but it's at the API. You can have blend modes, like multiply and stuff like that. So, you can kind of either you can use a clipping mask or you can alpha modify stuff. No, it's a passive API. It's really, it there's no connection, no real connection to Windows, no events. It's pure output. Okay, thanks for listening.